الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى، الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. صلوات. These are the lectures on the subject of Ma'rifat al-Din, Deen Shanasi, that my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah had delivered. And in the nights of Ramadan, I would like to talk about this subject in a very summarized way. I have summarized a lot of those lectures into 9 points that inshallah we will discuss it in the shortest words. First of all, we will discuss what is the definition of religion. So, how the religion is defined, and second of all, why in the world do the humans need a religion? So, what is the difference between not having any religion? So, this will make us understand why we stand in need of the religion. Third of all, we will discuss what is the source and origin of the religion. Where does the religion come from? What is the source or the sources of the religion, if any, more than one? And then, fourth of all, we will discuss the kinds of the religion. What are the various types of religion which are found? Which is considered to be haqq and why, and with what types and kinds of religion are classified to be batil and why. Why Islam considers those religions to be batil. Fifth of all, we will discuss the fact that in Islam, the pluralism in Islam is batil and muhal. And there is no room for ta'addud of adyan. Multiplicity in the religion is impossible in Islam to exist. We will discuss about that. And fifth of all, we will talk about the lub and qishr of the religion, the inner core and the outer layer. What is the inner core of the religion, which we call a lub? And what is called the outer layer of the religion, which we call it as qishr. So, we need to understand the essence and the rest of the rulings of the religion. Seventh of all, we will discuss the reasons of deviation, why some people in the society get munharif and deviated from the religion of Allah. And eighth of all, we will talk about the signs, how to find the deviations, the signs. And last of all, we will discuss about the fact that why in Islam the origin and destiny is one. So the origin of the religion and the destiny has to be one and has to return back to the same point of origin. So this concept has to be understood, that the mabda and ma'ad, origin and destiny, is one in Islam, and it has to be one. According to what my teacher said, that tamame budha na budha bayad be, tamame bayadha na bayadha bayad be budha wa na budha bargardat. It's very hard to explain this expression in English, but inshallah we will discuss this concept when we reach to the end of our discussion of Deen Shanasi and Ma'arifatuddin. So the first point which is significant for us to understand is what is the definition of religion, and second is why do we stand in need of religion. These are two points that we'll discuss inshallah tonight, and we'll continue with the rest of the discussion in the nights later on inshallah. Deen, to begin with, is a concept. If you want to open up the dictionary in Arabic language, the word deen has six meanings in Arabic, and I will count all those six in front of you. Deen has the meaning of inqiyad, means obedience, and khudu means humble, being humble, and ittiba means following, and ita'at means being obedient to someone, and tasneem means submission, and jaza, which is the last meaning of the religion and very commonly used meaning as well, is the reward. So in Arabic we say kama tadin tudan. So that means kama tadzi tudza. Whatever you do, you will be rewarded accordingly. So if you behave in whatever way towards somebody, you deserve to be behaved with in the same way. So this is the last meaning of jaza. So and all these meanings are used in the language, but the istilahi meanings of the religion is that it's the combination of the beliefs, i'tiqadat, and the akhlaq, the moral teachings, including the fada'il and raza'il, the beautiful positive attributes of the soul and the negative attributes of the soul, and the ahkam, that means the rulings which are related to our everyday lives, and do's and do nots of the sharia. So combination of all these teachings, beliefs and the moral teachings and the practical teachings, is called the religion. And this religion is sometimes described as the Deen al-Haq, and sometimes it has been mentioned as Deen al-Batil. And a deen is considered to be Deen al-Haq if it is derived from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means all these three teachings that we discussed, the i'tiqadat, the beliefs, the moral teachings, the akhlaq, and the ahkam, the practical rulings of our everyday life, are all taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the religion will be called as Deen al-Haq. And if someone takes some of the rulings from Allah and the rest of the rulings from anything or anyone other than Allah, ghayrullah, whether it's his own desires and wishes, or from the people, the society, the tahut, the zalimeen, from whatever be the source other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or his own personal desires and takes and opinions, then this mixture of some teachings from Allah and some from our own desires or from Tawhut or from the people, any source other than Allah, this is a mixture and makhloot and mamzooj. You know, this mixed religion is what we is called Deen al-Batil. In addition to the fact that if somebody takes all the teaching from his own self other than Allah, then of course that's obviously a Deen of Batil. But even if somebody partially takes some of the rulings from his own desires and opinions, this religion is also called as Deen al-Batil. Remember one of my teachers, I mentioned earlier in one of my speeches, that one of my teachers had said, you know, that Islam is the best religion if you follow it completely. And Islam would be the worst religion if you practice it incompletely. Practicing incompletely will be when some of the actions of ours are based on the wahi and revelation, and the rest of the actions we perform are based on our own desires. What we decide to do, whatever we like to do. So, even the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in Islam has not been given to decide things on his own, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ, so that you can do the hukm among the people, in other words, with what Allah has shown you. So the hukumat and the rule that the Prophet is supposed to do in the human community is according to what has been shown by Allah to him. Allah doesn't say in the Holy Quran, لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا رَأَيْتَ, بِمَا حَسِبْتَ, بِمَا زَعَمْتَ, بِمَا تَرْتَئِي. So that you can rule among the people according to what you seem to be appropriate. There is no room for that. Even the Holy Prophet, whatever his tashkhis is irrelevant. Because Allah did not say, لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا رَأَيْتَ, my teacher said. So even the tashkhis of Rasulullah is irrelevant when it comes to the hukumat. So the Prophet is obliged to give the hukum according to what he has been shown by Allah. Ira'atul haqa'iq. Whatever Allah has shown him. According to that. So this is exactly what we are discussing, that the deen has no room for this type of religion where a person brings his own personal opinion in the middle. Even the Prophet is not allowed to bring his opinion, so who are we? So no one can say the hukumat of the Holy Prophet is because he had nubuh of aql, and he was genius, and his ta'akkul and tafakkur level was of the highest in the humanity. Of course his level was of the highest, and there is no question about that. But the right of hukumat that was given by Allah to him does not depend on the fact that because his ta'akkul and tafakkur and nubuh of aql was of the highest in the humans. This is not the reason why he has been given the right to rule. He is supposed to rule according to what he has been shown by Allah. So whatever has been shown is the key and the criteria. So in Islam, religion is considered to be the religion of haq as long as every teaching of the religion is taken from Allah. And nothing of the practices of our everyday life is taken from our own cultures, our own likeness, our own opinions. You know, this is true, but my grandfather used to do like this. My mother-in-law, she always used to do it like this. There's no room for these statements when it comes to religion. This is the problem. This is the start of the problem. The start of the problem is when you bring your culture in the religion. So the deculturalization of religious practices, you know, when we talk the religion, deen, we don't need to deculturalize the religion, because deen, religion, quote unquote, deen, is called when there is no culture in it. If you bring the culture, then this is batil. This is not religion at all to begin with. So we don't need to deculturalize the religion, because religion is already automatically deculturalized. If you bring the religion, culture into the religion, it is no longer called a religion at all. So we are not talking about deculturalizing of the religion. Religion is already deculturalized by Allah. We are talking about deculturalization of the practices of the people. People's practice needs to be deculturalized. And because of our practices, we have brought these cultures into our practices. And this is what we have invited the problems for ourselves. So we have been taken some of it from this, from Allah, from the Wahi and Revelation, and some of it from our cultures. And we think now we are mutadayyin and religious, although we have been practicing batil, because this is what is called dinul batil. As long as it is makhloot and mixed up with the desire of the human, it will be classified as a dinul batil. And following it is there is no justification for that, and there is no reward for that at all. So in Islam, Allah has not given the right to any human to do the tashkhis on his own. The right has not been given to Rasulullah. Who are we? Let's be clear. You know, who are we when al-aqlul awwal, the holy prophet who is called as-sadrul awwal, the first product of Allah, an-nurul awwal, the first divine light, al-khalqul awwal, the first creature of God, al-aqlul awwal, the first intellect, al-qalamul awwal, the first pen of Allah. These are the alqab of Rasulullah. So when the al-aqlul awwal, the first intellect, the nur of the holy prophet does not have the right to do his tashkhis, and he is supposed to do what Allah has shown him and rule according to what Allah has shown him, then who are we to bring our takes into the Islamic centers and our personal practicing? You know, this is true, but I think it should be like this. You keep your thinkings away from the religion, as long as we are serious to practice the religion of Haqq. The humans don't have the right to decide the religion, which is the point number two, that why do we stand in need of the religion, and why do we turn to Allah for the religion? Well, we stand in need of our religion because religion teaches us how to lead the life. You know, what should we believe in? What should be our moral attributes and practices? What should be our everyday rulings and do's and do nots, and the green lines and red lines that we need to follow and obey in our everyday life? We can't decide. If we can decide, it will be silly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down 124,000 prophets for something that we can decide on our own. And this will be abas, useless and purposeless act. And Allah, who is Hakim and all wise and Alim and all knowing, never performs any act which is useless and purposeless. So the things which are belonging to the Wahi and Revelation, the religion that we learned from the Wahi and Revelation, is unreachable for us, inaccessible for the humans, zero access to the human intellect. And that is why we stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us. Human is the component of a soul and a body. We are not just a badan. Even if it was just a badan, you know, and jasad without the soul, we don't even understand everything of our body. Isn't that right? There's a huge list of things which even the doctors don't know what to do about. Isn't that right? We don't even know our own bodies completely. And we have no cures about all the problems that we are facing in our everyday life. Isn't that right? So we don't even know about the body. And we haven't started to talk about soul yet. Even if when it comes to the body, what is unknown is more than what is known to us. And when it comes to the soul, we should remember that this is the aspect which makes us resemble with the Ahlul Taqwa and Ahlul Fadilat, and make us become similar to the Anbiya nobody can be like the prophets and the imams, that's already clear. But we become mushabih and similar to whatever extent possible in our reach. So we become mushabih and similar to anbiya and a'imma alayhim as-salatu was-salam and shuhada and siddiqeen because of this spiritual aspect and the soul that Allah has given us. And as long as we give the preference to the soul. So this aspect, so we have now the bodily aspect, the physical aspect of the human existence and the spiritual aspect of the human existence. Giving preference to the bodily aspect will take us to places which we will be worse than the animals. Giving preference to al-bu'd al-hayawani, the animalistic and beastly aspect which is about the body, will make us worse than the animals. Because Quran says, in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ. In other words, do you think most of them listen and apply reason? Do you think most of them listen and apply reason? And then Allah says to His Holy Prophet, in hum illa kal an'am, they are nothing but like cattle. Chopai, an'am, chaharpayan, cattle. They are nothing but in hum, Suratul Furqan, verse number 44, in hum illa kal an'am, Balhum avallu sabira. Instead, they are worse, more astray, farther away, more astray from the way. Some people are worse than animals. So this is about our spirituality can lead. If we go towards our body, if we give preference to our physical aspect over the spiritual aspect, it will land us into a domain where we will be worse than the animals. And the Quran doesn't stop there. Let's move forward to the next step. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 74, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَٰلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. So, which we learn in the light of this verse, that their souls, their hearts hardened, so they are, like stone or more severe. Some people are become worse than stones in their personality. They become worse than stones. So earlier, Quran is giving the tashbih with the haywanat, with the an'am, with the cattle. And right now, Quran is doing the tashbih with jamadat. With some of the jamadat, hijara, stone, is part of jamadat, the immovable existences. Which are lower than the animals, isn't that right? So the humans can, if we give preference to our body, it will take us to levels which we will become worse than the jamadat and the stones. Whereas, if we give preference to the soul, that according to my teacher, giraish be bu'd ilahi, az turab, insan az turab migzarad, wa abu turab mi. If you give the preference to your spiritual aspect of your existence, you will cross the borders of the soil and a human reaches a level where he is called Abu Turab. Because he has crossed that level. So, this is the peak of humanity. So, ignoring the material things totally, having total disconnect with the world of matter. Material aspects and desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us in the Holy Quran that إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِّن رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Surah Sad, verse number 71. So in the light of this verse, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us recall the time when Allah said to the angels that I am certainly going to create a human from the clay. When I proportioned him, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ, when I proportioned him, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي and blew into him from my soul, you drop down in sajda. So the angels have already performed the sajda in front of the Al-Insan Al-Kamil and the Khalifa, the perfect human, which was in the form of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam in those days, Insan Al-Kamil of that time, and the Khalifa of Allah of that time, carrying the nur of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt and his sulb, who are the most perfect humans. So the sajda that the angels did was the sajda of the ubudiyyat of Allah. كَانَ لِلَّهِ عُبُودِيَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا وَإِكْرَامًا لَنَا. And it was a respect and ikram for us. So look at how Allah has respected the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt, sajda ta'zeemi. How Allah has respected the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and their nur, and the Insan-e-Kamil. How Allah has respected the Insan-e-Kamil, that asked all the angels, without exception, there was not a single angel who was exempt from this command of Allah. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. So all the angels did the sajda. There wasn't a single angel left. So angels who are made of nur accepted the greatness of Insan-e-Kamil and his superiority over all of them. So angels have already done the sajda in front of Hazrat Adam. So how silly it is for some people comparing the greatness and azmat of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam with the Malaika. How silly it is. Malaika have already did the sajda in front of Prophet Adam, who is inferior to the Rasulullah and to the Ahlul Bayt. And now some people are comparing the Malaika with Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. So the soul is superior to our body, and because it is nafqatun ilahiyya, it's something that Allah blew into our existence. And because Allah blew the soul into the existence of Prophet Adam, now the angels are obliged to bow down. So they are bowing down in front of Prophet Adam upon the command of Allah after the soul. After the soul comes in, not before the soul. You don't find in any history Allah asking the angels, do the sajda in front of Prophet Adam before the soul. So this body, we need to understand the point. It's a very crucial event. Probably the most crucial event of the human history was that. The most important event of the human history was that. Because that's the event where was the turning point of Haqq and Batil, which is relevant for our lives even today. It's an everyday relevant issue even today. The sajda of all the angels towards Al-Insan Al-Kamil, the perfect human, and the denial of Shaitan. And even today, all those who are obeying the shaitan and shayateenul insi wal jinn, who are also denying the sajda and obedience towards Al-Insanul Kamil, so this is a relevant issue for even today's life. So ruh is superior to the body because it's nafqatun ilahiyya. And after that nafqatun ilahiyya, when Allah blew into the body from his soul, that's after that the sajda was performed. And ruh is asl and the root, whereas the body is the far, is the branch. So it's dependent. Ruh is independent and body is dependent. So ruh can survive without the body, whereas the body can never survive without the soul. And ruh is third of all. Ruh is something which is abadi and eternal, whereas body is not eternal. The body is going to decay, you know, in the grave. So it's doomed to become fana. Everything, because everything that belongs to the world of matter is doomed to be subjected to fana and destruction. So whereas ruh is created to stay there forever, it's abadi. And fourth of all, ruh of a person is the arsh and throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the hadith says, قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنْ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ. the qalb of a mu'min, the soul of a mu'min, is the throne and arsh of Rahman. So this is the status which the soul enjoys, but not the body. Fifth of all, the ruh of the person is the hometown of Noor. And every Nuraniyat is actually found in your soul. When you say, Fulani khayli Nuranis. This person is so Nurani and Munawwar. Falan sahab bade Nurani. What are you talking about when you say this person is so Nurani? Are you talking about his body? Are you talking about the, his face looking shiny in front of your eyes? Is that what you are talking about? If that was the case, then everybody who has a clearer complexion belongs to Jannat. Isn't that right? And everybody who has a darker complexion should belong to hell. But this is not the case. This is totally wrong. That's not the criteria. That's what some people think. When you say Fulan, he was so Nurani. Nurani, that means his face was shining. This is not the, when we say Ruh is superior to the body because the Ruh is the markaz of the Nur. Every Nur, Nurul Mu'min min Qiyam al-Layl. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us to have this tawfiq to get to this level. See the hadith. So we understand that the Nur of a Mu'min is from standing up in the night. So standing up in the night brings the Nur to the Mu'min. So this, all the Nuraniyat and divine light is found in the Nur of the person. That's how a person will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. See, in this world, when we were born in this world, nobody asked us, what type of face do you like, Mr. So-and-so? Okay, Mr. Ahmed, Mr. Muhammad, you, Mr. Ali, what type of eyes do you like? Do you like big eyes, or small eyes, big ears, small, long throat, long neck, big head, small head, what side of length and height you like? And you, nobody asked us. When Allah created us, we were not even there to be asked. We never used to exist to be asked. Isn't that right? So Allah created us in the shapes and forms that He considered to be best for us, according to His absolute wisdom. But nobody asked us. He didn't ask us. But it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our forms on the Day of Judgment is entirely in our control. First creation was in His control. Second resurrection on the Day of Judgment, He has handed over the charge of the form and surat of the human into the hands of the humans themselves. Okay, you define your own surat. So whatever form and shape we love, we can choose for ourselves. You don't like this form, fine, you like something better. You have been given the chance to choose a form and surat for yourself which is eternal. This surat of yours is for only 50 years, 60 years, 70 years of your life, 80 years, isn't that right? It's not eternal. But the choice that you have been given to choose your own surat on the Day of Judgment, that surat will be eternal. You have been given the freedom by Allah to choose your own shape and form and surat depending on your aqidah and amal. Whatever aqidah of haq or aqidah of batil a person may be following, and a'mal of haq and a'mal of batil the person may be following. Religion of haq and religion of batil, that's what we are discussing. There are two kinds of religion. We'll come to the kinds inshallah after, in the next lesson inshallah. Yeah, the kinds of the religion, how many kinds of the religion are there. So your form and shape will be determined according to the kind of religion you are following. Religion of haq or religion of batil. That will bring the whole nur, or in the absence of the nur, it's all zulmat or zulumat. Piling up of the darknesses over one over the other. Pile of darknesses. So ruh is the markaz of nur. That's the point number 5 for the superiority of the soul. All the divine light belongs to the nur. Ruh is the markaz of aql. The hometown of aql is the ruh of the person. It's not in the body. This body's brain cells are just the tools. They are the tools used by the soul. It's about the soul of the person, which is the hometown of all the ta'akkul and tafakkur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us on the Day of Judgment according to our aql. Isn't it not? Iyaka u'aqib wa iyaka uthib. When Allah created the aql, Allah addressed the aql to come forward. Aqbil. Aql obeyed and move forward. Then Allah said, adbir. Go back. Aql obeyed and went back. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that's where we learned that, iyaka u'aqib wa iyaka uthib. So we will be, basically, we learned that our reward and our punishments will be based on our level of ta'akkul and aql. Also, seventh of all, the ruh is the markaz of ilm. All the knowledge that we learn is based on the ruh and found in the soul. It's not found in the body. So that's what makes the ruh superior. And the iman of a person is found in the soul. Iman is always found in the soul, unless and until a person commits a haram. At the time of committing the haram, the iman doesn't stay in the qalb. Iman exits the ruh, because iman billah and ma'asiyat does not combine together. So at the time of doing the sin, there is no iman. And the opposite of iman is what is called kufr. So that's why we say, that's why Abu Dharr salamullahi alayh, when somebody asked him that, when does a person commit a sin in your opinion? And he replied that a person, in my opinion, doesn't commit a sin unless he becomes a kafir. Because at the time of doing the sin, he disbelieves. If he believes at that time, he will never do it. And he's right. Abu Dharr is right, because iman exits the soul at the time of the sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to abstain from those situations. And tenth of all, it's the hometown of taqwa, which is the only and only way of salvation and najat on the day of judgment, is nothing but the taqwa of a person. You know, najat belongs to muttaqeen only, not to the non-muttaqeen. So the hometown of the taqwa and the noor of taqwa is also the ruh. So these are the 10 reasons our scholars have mentioned. Because of these 10 reasons, ruh is superior than the badan. And when the ruh is superior than the badan, so giving preference to the needs of the soul, the needs of the soul are like acquiring more and more taqwa, amalun salih, ilm. These are the needs of the soul. These are the food for the soul. We acquire more and more. See what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in his hadith, according to this narration, that annasu salasatun, people are three. Alimun Rabbani, Rabbani Alim, Muta'allimun ala sabilin nijat, that means a person who is learning on the path of salvation. And then he said, "Wa hamajun ru'a," and flies. Hamaj means magasha, makia, flies. So these flies, small, tiny flies, which are so weak, you know, wherever the wind blows, they just blow away, get blown away with the wind. So people are of three kinds. This is one of the best distribution of humanity from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So humans are either knowledgeable, Alimun Rabbani, and have a link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alimun Rabbani, which I already explained in my previous lectures, or Muta'allim, somebody who is learning the knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt for the path of salvation, or, Hamajun Ru'a, flies. And that, see, we find Alimun Rabbani is a person who has reached the Tajarrutul Aqli, the level of intellectual, metaphysical intellect, and he has a disconnect with the world of Madda and matter. Whereas Muta'allim is the person who is obeying and following the footsteps of Alimun Rabbani. You have to find out an Alimun Rabbani, and then you follow his footsteps and obey him. So salvation belongs to these two groups only. And the third one, which is hamaj, flies, are the ones who have nothing to do with the divine light. They have no share of Noor. They are stuck with the world of matter. And according to my teacher, the Holy Quran, talking about this group of people, Hamaj, the flies, talking about this group of the people, the Quran says, أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ. So, in other words, are you people pleased with the life of dunya instead of akhirat? So that's how these people are. These people are basically pleased with the life of dunya. They have taken the life of dunya as a substitute in the place of akhirat, and they are okay with it. That's what they wanted. That's their purpose of life. So just lead a comfortable, luxurious, you know, careless, carefree life in this world. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam has said in his hadith, according to what is narrated in Tafsir Nur al-Saqalain, that Nahnu al-Ulama and Alim-i-Rabbani, they are actually in the real sense the ulama. And all of them, of course, are Alim-i-Rabbani, but here the hadith uses the word ulama. Nahnu al-Ulama wa shi'atun al-Mutaallimun, and our followers are our Shias are the Mutaallimun. So if we are serious to learn, then we have to follow the footsteps of the divine light that we learned from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. وَصَائِرُ النَّاسِ حَمَجْ. And صَائِرُ النَّاسِ are حَمَجْ. And the Quran says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَسْنَا in Surah Al-Fatir, verse 32, ثُمَّ أَوْرَسْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اِصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرِ. So I think we are close to the time of iftar. Inshallah, we will continue this discussion, inshallah, in the next program. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Bas, can you please say that?